echoes of Al-Ghazali. His words still guide the seeking soul from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of Al-Ghazali.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Respected viewers of Madani Shin We once again welcome you in our program Echoes of Imam Ghazali عليه رحمة Be with us from beginning till end Inshallah We'll be learning a lot today in this episode We've got few segments in this program where we discuss one topic from the book of Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma called Ihya'ul Ulum and today we'll be discussing about beliefs regarding prophethood and we've got one segment that is called Sufi Saints select one personality and we discuss about the life and legacy of that blessed individual in addition to that we've got Sufi Wisdom segment in which we discuss some of the quotes of our great pious predecessors So, Mr. Len, ask your family members to come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen. With all good intentions, we should watch this program from start to end because my Shaykh Tariqat Amir Fahar Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Hafizahullah, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should not forget to make good intentions. We make this intention, inshallah, we'll deliver this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can add as many good intentions as possible and ask your family members to come and join from start till end. Let's go towards our brother Wasim Abbas Attari. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wasim Abbas, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How are you, Rizwan?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ahlan wa sahlan. Once again, marhaba, welcome to this program.
Always a pleasure.
And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about beliefs in specific to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has described in detail what beliefs should we have regarding the Salaf Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in addition to that, those aqaid which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave us with regards to the matters of hereafter. In brief, in the start, what would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel?
MashaAllah, as you mentioned, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is now clarifying our beliefs that to be a believer, what beliefs we should have. And previously he discussed the first part of the statement of faith, which is La ilaha illallah, what beliefs a believer should have regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
After that, now Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is highlighting the importance of prophethood, believing in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as the messenger to all. To right. the man, to the jinn, to the old creation, along with miracles, notably the Holy Quran. Believing in this fact is also essential for us to be deemed as believers. And thereafter, all those things which the Prophet ﷺ has told us regarding the hereafter, the matters of the hereafter, the grave, the resurrection, the plains of Mahshir, so on and so forth, to believe in all those aspects is also fundamental for us in order to be deemed as a believer. As well as this, towards the end, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah also mentions the exalted status of the Khulafa Rashidun, the four rightly guided caliphs, what beliefs we should have regarding the excellence, regarding believing in the majesty of the honorable companions, Ali Muridwan. This is also among the true creeds, the true tenets of faith for the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So this is how Imam Ghazali rahmatullah beautifully summarizes within this chapter.
MashaAllah. We're talking about the beliefs regarding the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Could you please elaborate on that? What information, according to the teachings of Quran and Hadith, we find in this regard? And what should as believer believe?
This is also a demonstration of the exalted rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a believer's faith would not be deemed accomplished, would not be deemed complete until and unless he believes in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a matter that holds immense importance, as just believing in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not suffice for a person to be deemed as believer. As was the case even during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that certain individuals believed in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Hence, they were not deemed as believers. So this is of a very fundamental aspect of our faith, where the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the status which is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with full conviction, we believe in it. And this signifies testifying to the messengership of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and maintaining the conviction that Allah commissioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is the conveyor of the tiding of the unseen, of ghaib, who is Ummi, and who hails from the tribe of Quraysh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commissioned him as a messenger with divine message to all regions of the Arabs and non-Arabs, as well as to every individual among the jinn and the mankind and the entire humanity, entire creation in fact. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated all the preceding religious ordinances by introducing the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for those injunctions which Allah Almighty intended to retain. Everything else has been abrogated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preeminence over all the prophets and appointed him as the leader of the children of Adam alayhi salam. Now, just the acceptance and affirmation of faith in La ilaha illallah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until it is conjoined with the belief in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So just believing in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not suffice. One has to believe in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to be deemed as a complete believer. And then the tidings which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam gave regarding the affairs of both this world and the hereafter, the matters of the after death, and all those matters which will transpire even in the future, to believe in them is also essential for us to be deemed as believers. So this, as a summary you can say, as a preface, as an opening of this chapter, is something that we need to believe in order to have our faith complete, Masha, without which our faith will not be complete.
So, rules of Madani channel, what we understand from this very initial concept of the belief regarding the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the shan status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the name of His beloved with His name everywhere. And without believing in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one can never ever become a believer.
Indeed.
Right? So, from this we also understand that no matter a person, he keeps on throughout his life reciting and saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. All his life he keeps on doing it. But unless or until he does not believe in the second part of the statement of faith, which is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not be classed as a believer. So this is the most, one of the most important beliefs. If someone wants to become a believer, a Muslim, he has to have belief regarding the Tawheed, as we discussed last week, and Risala, about the Prophethood. On top of that, we also learn from the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has been made as the leader of all the Anbiya. He is Imamul Anbiya. And how fortunate we are that we are among the Ummah of that Nabi alayhi salatu wa taslim, who is leader of all the Prophets, who is Habib of Allah, who is beloved of Allah, Allahu Akbar Kabira. And inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, through the Shafa'ah of Rasul alayhi salatu wa taslim, we will enter Jannah behind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Respective views of Madani channel, as we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also taught us, gave us the glad tidings and the news of future, unforeseen, which we did not see. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told us that this is going to happen in the matters of hereafter. The very first and foremost important belief as a believer, after having belief in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having belief that he has said, whatever he has said is truth, indeed, comes Munkar and Nakir. The questions of Munkar and Nakir. These are the angels who come in the grave and they interrogate each and every soul, everyone there. There are certain questions And could you please explain and describe their how they come, in which form do they come, what is their state like, and what sort of questions do they ask?
Now, as you mentioned regarding the foretelling of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so the interrogation of Munkar and Nakir is something which takes place in the grave after a person passes away. And this is one of the first stages of the hereafter. So as soon as a person passes away, now the matters of the grave will begin. And Munkar and Nakir, these are two angels
right,
who come in the grave in a very fearsome and awe-inspiring state.
Allah.
And in a state of rebuking the deceased, they make the person, the deceased, sit upright in the grave. And then at this moment, it is stated that the person is present with the body and the soul together at this point. And then they interrogate the person regarding the Tawheed and Prophethood. At this point, the questions are regarding Tawheed and Prophethood.
An important point here, what I read was that these angels come in a human form. In a very horrific human form.
Ji.
Allahu
Akbar. Ji. And now the questioning would be regarding Tawheed and Prophethood, the first fundamental element of our faith, of our belief that we've been discussing about. So they'll be questioning you now. The three questions they'll ask: who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is your Prophet? These questions will be asked to the deceased at this point. So this is the very first stage after the person passes away. And these two angels, they constitute the trial of the grave. This is among the trials of the graves. And for the person, the primary trial falling, as we mentioned, death, is to confront the questioning of Munkar and Nakir. And it is incumbent upon the person to acknowledge the punishment of the grave as a reality and to maintain firm conviction in it. So, for everyone, now it is also necessary to believe in the punishment of the grave, in the question of the grave, to believe this as reality. Furthermore, the enforcement of the decree of Allah upon both body and the soul is in accordance with the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is fundamentally based upon justice. So this is how Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi is now breaking it down. And also, when we're talking about the matters of the future, especially of the hereafter, here we also come to know that the belief of a believer is must to believe in the knowledge of unseen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because these are the tidings of the unseen, tidings of ghaib, which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is now disclosing to us. So for us to believe in the matters of the grave, in the establishment of the Day of Judgment, in the establishment of the Mizan, the Bridge of Sirat, all these things, the knowledge of ghaib, the news of the ghaib which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us, it is essential for us to believe in all this. And the interrogation of Munkar and Nakir is the first stage which a person faces after he passes away.
Respecting those of Madani Shail, now everyone, when we go into the grave, because kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, we have to enter in our graves a day, or alam barzakh, we will go there. So Munkar and Nakir will come and they will ask questions. Now the question would be, man rabbuka, who is your Lord? Ma dinuka, what is your religion? Ma kunta taqulu fi haqqi hadha ar-rajul, a beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will be shown to the individual in the grave, and this question will be asked, مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, what you used to say about this personality. The respective views of Madani Shail, are we ready for these questions? The question is, are we ready to answer these questions? Have we prepared for these questions? If there is an exam in this dunya, how much preparations do we make? How much effort do we put so that we pass in that exam? And this examination which is going to happen in our grave, the examination of our grave, and you know, normally the paper is not out. Normally questions are not, you see, open. They are not revealed. People that don't know what's going to come in the exam, prepare for them sort of questions. But there, the questions are also revealed. We know what is the exam, what questions are to be asked. But sadly, if we are not ready, if we are not preparing, this is something we should contemplate. We should ponder on this fact. But inshaAllah, those, they love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those, they have, they believe in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those, they follow the commandments of Rabb Azza wa Jal. Those, they follow the teachings of Islam. They will be able to, inshaAllah, say, Allahu Rabbi, my Rabb is Allah. Deen is Islam, my Deen is Islam. And who are Rasulullah? Inshallah, we will say that he is Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, messenger of Allah. How can I not recognize him because I used to wear imamah in his remembrance? How can I not recognize him because I used to have beard in remembrance and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can I not recognize him because I used to recite Naat of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. I used to celebrate Mawlid of Rasulullah salatu wasalam. I used to walk like him. I used to talk like him. I used to eat like him. I used to dress like him. This is Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I used to recite Salawat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I used to recite Mustafa Jani Rahmat Pilako Salam, Shami Bazmi Hidayat Pilako Salam. Inshallah, we will be able to recognize. Right? And if the question regarding Islam will be asked, inshallah, we'll be able to also answer that this is the Islam I used to, alhamdulillah, believe in. I used to believe in the Tawheed of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. These beliefs what we are talking about in this program. And alhamdulillah, those they believe, they will be able to recognize, but through the mercy of Allah, right? Through the madad of Allah, through the support of Allah. But we need to know that these angels are to come. And these questions will be asked. We need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves before it is too late, because we never know when Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam would come and we'll be lowered down into our dark grave and we'll be facing these questions and answers. Wasim Abbas, taking further the discussion, which next important prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretelling the news of the ghaib which he gave, that this is going to be inshallah faced by the believers and the non-believers, what is that?
Now Imam Ghazali mentions the scale of deeds, mizan amal,
right?
When the scale will be established. So he mentions that it is incumbent upon a person to maintain firm conviction that the scale, mizan, is an absolute reality. And then he describes, what is it like? It possesses two pans and a tongue, a pointer. And the vastness of its each pan is equivalent to the layers of the earth in the heavens.
What are you describing actually? For the viewers, because maybe they joined us now, you're talking about a mizan, a scale. And why is that for?
This is for justice, for weighing the actions. Good actions versus
bad
actions.
Good deeds, bad deeds, what we have been doing this.
Indeed. And successful will be those who would have heavier good deeds. They will be successful on that day. So this scale would be established on the day of judgment, which we know as Mizan Amal, the scale of Mizan.
And how vast it is.
And how a single pan is equivalent to the layers of the earth and the heavens. This is how vast only one pan would be. And through the divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deeds of mankind shall be weighed therein. On that day, the perfection of absolute justice and equity shall be demonstrated, such that even objects as minute as mustard seeds and atoms shall serve as weights.
Allah.
Virtuous deeds shall be endowed with a beautiful form and placed within the luminous pan of the scale. And by divine grace, this pan shall become heavy in accordance with the ranks preordained for those deeds. And conversely, evil deeds shall be cast into the dark pan of the scale in a repulsive form, in a disfigured form, and that pain shall remain light by virtue of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the state of this scale, how it would be. The side which would have the good deeds, that would be illuminated, that would be enlightened, and with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will become heavier. And conversely, the side upon which the evil deeds will be placed, that will be in a repulsive form, in a disfigured form.
Allah.
And it will be dark and it will be light. And the heavier side will be with the mercy of Allah, and the lighter side will be the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is incumbent for us to believe in this fact as well.
Jai main vekha amla walle kuj nahi mere palle, jai main vekha rahmat rab di balle balle balle, adl kare ta thar thar kamban uchiya shana wale, fazl kare ta bakhshe jaawan main jahenu ka. Respect means, hey, this couplet what I read is in Punjabi language. What does it actually mean? That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes justice, then very high stationed ones, those they're very close in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, they start trembling, they start shivering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy dominates, then people like me, us sinners, they are also forgiven. But this mizan will be established, the scale will be there. And the scale, you know, the concept of the scale in this dunya, right? You weigh two things, which is heavier and which is lighter. And this is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. It is mentioned that every minute particles,
atoms,
وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Even smallest atom, you see, to that level of deed, if somebody has performed, he will be rewarded for that. And very minute, equal to an atom, sin, that will also be Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala weighed. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala forgive us. And we want that all our sins are removed. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We want, may our deeds are not put on the scales. That's what we want. Yes, it is possible through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there will be some who will be forgiven without accountability. And that's what we want, that we are forgiven without accountability. And our bad deeds are turned into good deeds. And it is also possible according to Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing it. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can not only forgive our sins, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn our sins into good deeds. But this is what is the belief regarding mizan. This is what we have explained you from the book, mentioned these beliefs we should have, and we should remember there will be a day of judgment when scale will be established. Next very important point was in Abbas by is Pul Sirat. Pul Sirat is the bridge of Sirat, something which is very scary at the same time. And when you describe it the way Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam described it, Allahu Akbar, a person starts trembling and shivering. And when he just thinks, how will one cross something which is thinner than hair, sharper than sword? You see, Allahu Akbar, built on right, across the span of the hell, Allahu Akbar Kabira. And then those, they are believers, they will be crossing that bridge in different forms according to their ranks and darajat. Some will be crossing it in lightning speed. Some will be, you see, crossing it on a ride. Some will be crossing it running. Some will be crossing it walking. Some will be crossing it crawling. And depending on a different darajat and the people, they, according to their good deeds, they will be crossing, and some will be, Allahu Akbar Kabira, falling in the ditches of the hell also. Allah. May Allah protect us. Talking about the description of this bridge of Sirat, what does Imam Ghazali guide us?
Again, he mentions that it is imperative to maintain firm conviction in the reality of bridge of Sirat. This is something which will certainly happen. And again, the severity of this this bridge is immense. As mentioned in several traditions, several narrations, as you also mentioned, is finer than a strand of hair and sharper than a sword. And whilst attempting to traverse it, the feet of disbelievers will slip by divine decree, and they will fall in the hellfire. Whereas the believers, the Muslims, with the mercy of Allah, they will cross through the bridge of Sirat. So, of course, the severity is there, the difficulty is there, but then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also there. And after crossing the bridge of Sirat is the station of Jannah, the station of paradise, which one will enter. However, again, the same question that you posed in the previous element when we were talking about mizan, we were told that we should work towards having our good deeds heavier. When we were talking about Munkar Nakir questions, that have you prepared for that? Same question over here. Yes. Have you prepared for crossing that bridge, which every single one of us will have to traverse? There's no exception. No one will be left out. We all will have to traverse it. Have you prepared for it? And what is the preparation for it? following the Sharia, following Quran and Sunnah, following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, having firm conviction in these fundamental necessities of deen, and then practicing it and following it and leading a life of a true, sincere believer. Then, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll be able to cross the bridge of Sirat. Otherwise, this matter is very, very concerning.
Absolutely right. Respect Yusuf Madani Chen. The idea to talk about these beliefs is to have knowledge about these beliefs. At the same time, we need to get ready to face this. To be honest with you, we will not be able to face all this what is mentioned, but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ta'ala, we depend. But it doesn't mean that we will not be acting upon good deeds. It doesn't mean we will not be abandoning sins. We have to do all what we can according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ta'ala. Then we need to believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too, and shafa'at of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. We should have fear and hope. A believer is in between the both, right? Mm-hmm. This is something very important. And when fear is there, then respective viewers of Madani Channel, the very pious ones, those they are very muqarrab in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they hold proximity in the court of Rabb ta'ala azza wa jalla, they start shivering. But when they have got hope, they say, Raza pul se ab wajd karte guzariye ki hai Rabb sallim Sadai Muhammad, right? Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this is also a hope that when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam is making dua and making us cross the bridge of Sharat, pul se utaro raah guzar ko khabar na ho, Jibreel par bichhaye to par ko khabar na ho, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will be there, inshallah, at Mizan also. And, right, and he will be helping the believers to cross the bridge of Sirat also, and on the Hawd also, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will be making the believers drink from the Hawd of Kawthar. Respective views of Madani Channel, the next is Hawd, the next is the fountain. What is the belief we should have regarding it? What is its description and what do we know about it?
SubhanAllah. Again, it is another essential belief for us to believe in, that the Hawd al-Kawthar, the fountain of Kawthar, this is where Muslims shall then arrive. And this fountain has been bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So after traversing the bridge of Sirat and before entering paradise, the believers, they shall be blessed with the privilege of drinking from the fountain of Kawthar, from Hawd al-Kawthar. Right. And whoever is granted even a single draw thereof from the fountain of Kawthar shall never experience thirst again.
Subhanallah.
The breadth, the width of this fountain is equal to a journey of 1 month.
Allah.
And its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And arrayed upon its banks are drinking vessels exceeding the stars in number. The vessels across it, around it, would be more than the stars are in number. And two conduits, two water channels from the heavenly springs of Kawthar flow into this fountain.
Subhanallah.
So this is the description which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned in this chapter. But this is again among those things which are important for us to believe in, that after traversing the bridge of Sirat and before entering into paradise, this is where believers will gather, this is where they will go. And with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they will drink from here. And once someone drinks from Hawd al-Kawthar, they will never be thirsty again. And after here is entry into paradise.
We pray that on the Day of Judgment, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gives drink from the Hawd of Kawthar, may we also get that from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahi al-Nabeel. Ameen. Respected viewers, so far we have covered Pul Sirat, Hawd al-Kawthar, Munkar al-Nakeel, and Mizan also, scale. And now, Hisab, the accountability, right? And there are different ways the Hisab will be taken, the accountability will be done. And some will have ease in their accountability, and some will be facing very strictness, and some will go into Jannah without accountability, inshallah, those they are closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. Now, in terms of this, what is important? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who will be held accountable according to Imam Ghazali?
again, the accountability and reckoning will take place. And to prepare ourselves for this, of course, following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, of course, mandatory. However, we are talking about the tenets of faith, the creed that we should have, the beliefs that we should have. So this is something which will definitely happen, and this is something that a believer must believe in order to be deemed as a believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall question whomsoever he wills among the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the discharge of their prophetic mission.
Whatever mission was granted to them, do they fulfill that?
Exactly.
Whomsoever if Allah wills, he will ask.
Okay. Ask them. Likewise, he shall also ask whomsoever he wills among the disbelievers concerning their denial of the exalted messengers alayhi salam. And innovators, those who engage in acts contrary to Sharia, shall be held accountable for their abandonment of the Sunnah, and Muslims shall be questioned regarding their own deeds. Now, of course, this is one aspect of it, but some ulama, some true devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they also mentioned that the actual purpose of the establishment of the Day of Judgment is to show the honor and majesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. He knows the deeds and he knows all the answers as well. He knows who's believer, who's non-believer. He knows who's sinner, who's pious. So this questioning, this interrogation will take place that day. But then on that day, the humanity, the people will run in the court of a certain individual for intercession, for help, as only that one individual will be the one who will be able to help that day, and it will be none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this entire establishment of the Day of Judgment would be to depict and show the eminence, the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. However, coming back to the topic, it is amongst the fundamental beliefs of believers to believe in the accountability of the Day of Judgment. And as we move forward, the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is also mentioned among those tenets of faith which Imam Ghazali has mentioned for a believer to believe in order to be among true believers.
It is mentioned faqat itna sabab hai in itadi bazm mahshar ka ki unki shan mahboobi dikhai jane wala. See what he explained, I've just read it in a couplet. Subhanallah, the only reason of the establishment of the Day of Judgment is to show the great status of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And of course, to establish the justice also. So now, respecting views of Madani Shail, one important belief what we should have, it is mentioned that after, in case if any of the believer faced the punishment of the Hari, he will never remain there forever. He'll be taken out. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, through the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, eventually he will come to Jannah.
Indeed.
Right. And this is also something important. And this tells us an importance of faith, Iman. Right? So this is the faith. If somebody has got a belief in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, believe in the Prophet of Rasulullah, believe in the essentials of Islam, if due to his sins, if he ended up being punished, Allah forbid, but he will never remain there forever.
Yeah,
but if somebody does not have the wealth of Iman, Allahu Akbar, then destruction is forever. May Allah protect us. Yeah. May our Iman remains intact. May we remain believer when we live, and when we die as believer. May we never ever face Jahannam, the fire of hell, for the slightest of a moment. Right? Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Ameen. There is another very important aspect, which is Shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the time is also short. We have to cover other segments. Just in a very brief description, if you could just mention that.
I'll try to summarize the last few points collectively in a few minutes.
Sure.
So it is imperative to maintain faith in intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give permissions to first of all Anbiya Ikram alayhi salam, and then the scholars, then the martyrs, and then general believers. And depending on what their ranks are. So this sequence of intercession, shafa'a, will be bestowed upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sinful people, they will receive the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, other anbiya, other shuhada, martyrs, scholars, etc. And anyone who has a little bit of iman in their hearts, they will be taken out of Jahannam, as you mentioned. They will not stay there forever. And then Imam Ghazali mentions another very important point where it is imperative for every believer to believe in the sequential excellence of the Sahaba.
Subhan.
This is also very, very important and a belief that we need to have. So after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the most superior is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, and then Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu wajhul kareem. And it is mandatory to maintain a favorable opinion of all the noble companions and to articulate praise and accolades of these sanctified souls in the manner that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have praised. So this is also very, very important for us believers to be respectful towards the Sahaba and to believe in their status as is in the sequence. So these are a few things which Imam Ghazali has mentioned, which are hallmarks of a true believer, which and these are the things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Believing in what he has mentioned is fundamental and essential for a believer to believe in order to be a perfect and accomplished believer.
MashaAllah. Respected Rasulullah, whatever has been explained, this is in the light of Quran and Hadith and the aqwal of the great pious predecessors, whatever Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah has brought in his discussion in the book Ihya ul-Ulum. I hope you must have learned a lot about the fundamental beliefs of a believer. As Muslim, what should we believe? Inshallah, we'll move on to our second segment now, that is Sufi Saints. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
Respectivists, today we are going to talk about a great saint in the history of Islam, Imam Busiri rahmatullahi ta'ala. Very well known name. When you think about Qasida Burda, you think about Imam Busiri rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Over to you.
Allah, Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayh, what can be said about him? A true master of the elite, true towering figure in Islam, and words cannot describe his excellence. His full name was Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Sayyid al-Busiri rahimahullah, and he was born in 608 Hijri in a village called the Las of Egypt. But then in his youth, he spent his youth in a village called Busir, which was his father's village, and with this association he's known as Busiri.
Okay.
Then in his childhood, he migrates to Cairo, where he memorizes the Quran in a very early age, and he takes his elementary Islamic studies over there, and Arabic language he learns over there. Now, Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayhi was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with beautiful handwriting. So his livelihood was through calligraphic inscriptions on tombstones.
Right.
And many people now start to come to him in order to learn this art. Then later on, Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayhi also started to work in the public sector, in the government sector, but Imam Busiri leaves it. And then Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayhi, he comes to Alexandria. And Alexandria was a center of Sufism and tasawwuf at that time. And over there, Sayyidina Abu al-Abbas Mursi rahmatullah alayhi, who's his guide, who's his sheikh, he rahmatullah alayhi, pledges his allegiance to him, becomes his murid, his disciple. And Abu al-Abbas Mursi rahmatullah alayhi is the student of Imam Abu al-Hasan Shazili rahmahullah. So now Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayhi finds his spiritual miss that he was facing. And Imam Busiri rahmatullah alayhi, among his various other excellences, was that he was a great poet. He had great linguistic grip, great linguistic prowess, and people were in awe of his greatness in terms of the academic brilliance he had over Arabic language. Now, there was a time when he used to write qasaid and praises in the praise of the people of this world. But then when the spiritual turning took place in his life, now he devoted everything of his for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He wrote many poems in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most famous, which we know as Qasida Burda, which is known as Al-Kawakib al-Durriya fi Madh Khairul Bariya, meaning the celestial lights in the praise of the best of the creation.
Subhan.
And we know this as Al-Burda. And the reason behind, he rahmatullah alayh, he had paralysis, and in that state, when he had lost hope from everyone, now he devoted all his concentration, his attention, everything of his towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wrote Qasida Al-Burda. And in the dream, he sees the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam takes his hand over his body. He gets cured when he wakes up. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives him a shawl, a cloak in the dream. And when he wakes up, he had that shawl, because of which it is called Qasida al-Burda. And Qasida al-Burda became so famous amongst others that even they would take it for cure. There's so much to discuss about Imam Busiri rahmatullahi, but of course the time doesn't permit us. And then it was in 1294 in Alexandria where this true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passed away and left a legacy for us in the form of Qasida Burda, which is recited all over the world by the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this has become a hallmark, a symbol of the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that in their gatherings, when they praise the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they recite Qasida Burda.
Let's take another segment in our program, and that is Sufi wisdom. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
But a few quotes from our great pious predecessors and our Shaykh Tariqat for you. Let's find out what is there for us.
So the first quote that we have is from Tabaqat al-Sufiyya, page 371, where Sayyidina Tamastani al-Farsi rahimahullah has said that an intelligent person only speaks to a necessary amount. He avoids that which is useless.
Subhanallah.
Then the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, he says in Fatawa Radhawiyya, volume 12, page 281, that if one made a promise only with their tongue for worldly reasons and did not truly intend to act upon it at that time without a valid reason according to Islamic law or due to a state of necessity, it is now a major sin and forbidden. And then the leader of the Ahlul Sunnah, Shaykh al-Tariqat Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, he once said in a Madani Muzakra that took place on 17th Zulqadat al-Haram, 1445 Hijri, that the treatment of the heart is with the people of the heart. The company of the one who is pious, knowledgeable, a true devotee of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a bearer of true Sunni aqaid, true Sunni creed, who loves all the companions without criticizing any of them, who loves the Ahlul Bayt and respect the saints of Islam, being around them removes rust and dirt from the heart, washes away its darkness, softens it, and can also completely revive it.
MashaAllah. That's all for today. Hope you must have learnt a lot. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala sallallahu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul, from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of al-Ghazali.